from tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 27th, 2015. Joey McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on word curses. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And Lord, I take accountability,
yes, Father.
Take accountability
for whatever happened to me and the loins of my forefathers,
all the way back to Adam and Eve.
Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name,
to
let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers and anything I've confessed. I break soul ties with all of my forefathers. I call back my soul and my human spirit from them, send back their souls and human spirits back to them, exchange their image for the image of Christ. And I command every demon carrying out those curses against God's people to leave now. In the name of Jesus, I break your power over every life. In Jesus' name, cough out, blow out, command them to go in the name of Jesus. I break your power over every life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus in the days ahead that they will keep dealing with the things that they have seen that they're still under, that they will find the cause of the curse in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. How many felt some deliverance when you were praying? Put your hand up if you felt some deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The rest of you go through Deuteronomy 28. But I wanted to do the curses that God sends because of disobedience. And now what I really want to focus in on is word curses that we speak on ourselves and that we speak on other people. Of why we get sick and how to get healed. You know, one of the big blocks to healing is words we speak over ourselves. Jesus said, you have what you say. Now, we just read in Deuteronomy 28 that sickness and other maladies are rooted in sin against God. And also, people can speak curses over us against our finances. We can speak curses over our finances. My husband used to say, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. You see, that's a curse that you speak. And he usually was broke. So a spiritual root disease or a problem is the sin, in Christian terms, the sin that causes the sickness or is at the root of the problem. And I'm thankful that the Lord's taught me that when there's a problem, say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this problem? And before you come to camp, there's an extra battle because I call it pre-seminar stirrups. Some of you have been healed since you got here, but it was a battle getting here. It was a battle for Donna and I to get here. Donna couldn't walk, really, but she drove me anyway. And this morning, she didn't even make it to the prayer meeting, and this morning the prayer team prayed for her, and the very hour that we prayed for her, she was healed. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. So, when we speak on ourselves and we speak on other people, financial problems, we speak curses on our relationships. I've said so many times, well, you know, I'm glad y'all love me here because blah, blah, blah. I'm glad Kyle and David love me and my family loves me. But, you know, you can, because of your own feelings of rejection, you confess things and you have what you say. You know, if you've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, Pharaoh would say, so let it be, so let it be done. And it's really amazing that we can speak things that affect humanity for generations because of the things that we speak. God spoke the world into existence He didn't have to wait a million years to do it. He didn't have to wait for somebody to help him. He spoke and it was done. And because we're created in God's image, He gives us the power to speak death and life with our tongues. So we're either speaking death or we're speaking life with our tongues. King James in Psalms 39 verse 1 says, I will regard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. Psalms 39 says, I was dumb and silent. I was dumb and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, and I said, O Lord, make me know the extent of my days and how transient I am. And so in that passage, he said, I will guard my mouth. And I found that you really can't guard your mouth if it's in your heart, because it's going to come out at some point in time because it's in your heart. The purer your heart is, the purer your words will be. The purer your heart, the purer your thought life will be. Proverbs 12 says, there is he that speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is help. New American Standard says the tongue of the wise brings healing. Basically, in this verse, he's saying that words can be as drastic as stabbing someone with a sword. But the tongue of the wise will bring healing or his health. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So it's saying that the tongue is mightier than the sword, because it can bring death or life. Matthew 12 says, verse 36 says, for every idle word that men shall utter, they'll have to give an account of on the day of judgment. By your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Why that? Because your words reveal what's in your heart. You say, well, I was just kidding. No, you weren't. Because what you say is reflective of what's in your heart. And so he says, every idle word that men shall utter, they'll have to give an account of in the day of judgment. You know, I can say, wow, that is a sobering thought. There's going to be lots of words I'm going to have to take accountability for. If you're like me, I'm really asking God to teach me how to talk. I'm talking a lot less lately. From a person that used to just nonstop, never shut up. And so I want to be able to have ears to hear and speak less. The Bible says Samuel's words never fell to the ground. I've had a lot of words fall to the ground. Romans chapter 12, verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you and do not curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And, of course, you don't want to pray that they'll have an oil well in their backyard. You want to pray for Christian character. Bless them with wisdom. Bless them with the truth that sets them free. Bless them with understanding. Bless them with a heart to love God with their whole heart. Bless them with honesty, with truth. It says, pray that God will bless them, even if they're persecuting you. In this passage, Jesus really was talking to Christians. He said, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. In so doing, you'll heap burning coals upon his head, and God will bless you. And it says, don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. 12 verse 19 says, never take your own revenge. Leave room for God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Romans 12:20 says, instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And I already said that one. Romans 12, well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only words that edify, words that give grace to those who hear, words that meet the need of the moment.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. James chapter 3, verse 9 says, with the tongue we praise God, and with the tongue we curse man. And it shouldn't be this way. It says the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And it says in James 3 that we can burn down a forest. Now, Psalms 1 says we're trees, and so there's a forest in here. With my mouth, I can burn down the forest. And it says nobody can tame the tongue. You can't tame the tongue till you get the heart tame, because the tongue is going to say what's in the heart. You can try to say, I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to say it, but at some point it's going to come out. And God's speaking to Christians. It says, blessings and curses come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, this is not right. Matthew 5 says, when you're angry with your brother, you've committed murder. If you call somebody a fool or an idiot, you're in danger of hellfire judgment, it says in Matthew chapter 5. It says, make friends with your enemy while you're with him on the way, lest he turn you over to the judge. And James 2 says there's one lawgiver, one judge, and we know that's God. And the judge turns you to the officer, that's a demon, and you'd be thrown in prison. And you won't come out of there until you pay up the last cent. That's what Matthew chapter 5 says. Matthew 18 says you're turned over to the tormentors when you don't forgive. So if you're angry with someone, you're in danger of the judgment. And you know, if you're angry at 1,000 people, you're in 1,000 prisons. It says in Matthew 5, lest the judge turn you over to the officer puts you in prison. For every person you haven't forgiven, you're holding them in a prison, and they could be holding you in one too. So we need to find out what curses mean. What is a curse? The Bible has much to say about a curse. It's a vilification dictionary that the Hebrew. Or the Greek says vilification, the Hebrew says vilification. Dictionary says to speak evil of, to defame, to shame, to make vile, make of little worth, to make cheap, to make base, to wish evil upon or invoke evil on, to invoke evil injury or destruction upon a person. Now that's when witches do that willfully, but we do it ignorantly by just the words we speak. The very first time that a curse was mentioned was in Genesis, when Adam and Eve, you know the story, how the serpent tempted them in the garden, Satan tempted them, and then God begins to rebuke the serpent, and he says, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust. And then he tells Adam, he said, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. And he said, you, Adam, are dust. So basically what he's saying is, Adam, every time your flesh nature manifests, I command the serpent to bite you because you're dust. The serpent crawls on his belly and eats dust. Now the same God who said, let there be light, said, Adam and the serpent, you're under a curse. Throughout history, the Bible talks about different ones who spoke curses. You know, Noah, after the flood. You know the story of Noah, how he got drunk and got naked, and his son Ham uncovered his nakedness. And Shem and Japheth, they tried to cover their father's nakedness. And when Noah woke up, he cursed Ham and Canaan, and he cursed his descendants and said, you're going to serve Shem and Japheth for the rest of your life, down through the ages. And the Canaanites, more than any other race, has had to deal more with slavery than any other race because of that curse that Noah spoke. You see how that affected the generations because of the curse he spoke. God told Abraham in Genesis 12:3, I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed
And God recognized that it was possible for people to curse you, so he gave a severe consequence to those who cursed God's children. Because you're a descendant of Abraham if you're God's child, if you've truly been born again. And I'm going to say this, if your life has not changed since you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're not born again. The devils believe and tremble. But when you're born again, your whole life will change. And you can't explain it. You just know that you know that you know. My life so drastically changed when I got born again. I used to curse like a sailor, and I remember saying a cuss word after I had gotten saved reading the Bible, and I can tell you I was facing east in Lavernia, Texas, in my kitchen, and a curse word came out of my mouth, and I said, Lord, that doesn't sound like anything a Christian ought to say, and God delivered me over 50 years ago of cursing. And I want to tell you something. You can be around people that curse all the time. This particular person I'm telling you about curses all the time. Yesterday we went to a Thanksgiving thing, and the Lord sent her for me to help her. But I have to continually pray stuff off me because she must have called the traffic an idiot 25 times at least. And you'll be around somebody, and you'll just soul ties. I break them in Jesus' name. You have to be as wise as a serpent, as innocent as dove. And she said, I hope the Lord sent me here. I said, well, he did. I prayed you wouldn't come if we couldn't help you. She kind of looked shocked. I said, I don't want you any place. God don't want you. Amen. Besides, when you don't see God's will, you could be asking for trouble. But if you know God's in it, you can go through things. And God recognized that it was possible for people to curse us. And so he gave severe consequences to those who cursed us and for us who cursed other people. And that should have been a deterrent to us cursing other people. But you know, God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. It's the truth that sets us free. The minute you know the truth, you're free. Nobody has to even pray for you. And then, the story of Balak, the king of Moab, he tried to give Balaam money, gold, whatever, to curse Israel because he was jealous of Israel. He saw God blessing Israel. And you know the story about how he was on the way to curse Israel. And he was riding his donkey, and his donkey kept seeing an angel, and the donkey three times would divert, and Balaam was really angry, trying to strike the donkey, and all of a sudden Balaam's eyes was open to the angel that the donkey had seen, and the angel said that the donkey was trying to save your life, because I would have killed you if you had come this way, and you're not to curse Israel. And you know the story, Balaam couldn't curse Israel because Israel wasn't under the curse at that time. But what he did was that he taught Balak to put a stumbling block in the way of the children of Israel. And before you knew it, then the sons of Israel were committing whoredoms with the Moabites. And so God's wrath was poured out. So you see, Balaam couldn't curse as long as there was no cause of the curse. And so what Balaam did was to teach Balak to get Israel into sin, and then they were cursed. And then in Genesis 31, verse 32, you know the story of Jacob who worked for Laban, and then he got Leah, and then he got Rachel, and then he decided it was time to go back to his land, and so with his wives and his children and his livestock, he was going back to his original home. And Laban, who was his father-in-law, came after him, and he was very angry. And Laban said, "Somebody has stole my household idols," and of course, Jacob didn't know that Rachel had stolen those idols, and they were under her
saddle blanket or whatever she was on. And Jacob said, whoever has them will die. And of course, we know the story that Rebecca died in childbirth because of the spoken words that Jacob had spoken over her. In Luke 1 is another example when Zechariah was doing his temple duties. Gabriel appeared to him and he said, I've come from the throne room of God and you're going to have a son and you're going to name him John. And Zechariah said, how can I believe this is so? And the angel said, since you didn't believe, you won't be able to speak until the child's born. Now, why do you think he did that? Because Gabriel gave the word, and Zacharias didn't believe, and he didn't want Zacharias undoing what he said, so he kept him silent until John was born. Another example was in Matthew 21, verse 19. Jesus cursed the fig tree. He just spoke to a tree, and it died. And he said, there'll be any fruit come forth from you. Cursed it. In Matthew 16, Jesus had just been crucified and he had just rose from the dead, and the angel appeared to Mary and said, go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm going on to Galilee, Jesus is going on to Galilee. He said to tell the disciples and Peter. Now, why? Peter was a disciple. Why do you say that? Because if you back up to where Jesus was arrested and the soldiers kept saying, are you one of his disciples? He denied that he was. He undiscipled himself. And then there at the end, in God's mercy and in his grace and his kindness, he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He asked him three times, and he got reinstated as a disciple by his own words. Psalms 109 says, if we love cursing, it comes to us. If we do not delight in blessings, it's far from us. And says, so if we don't delight in blessings, but we delight in cursing, it'll be like a garment of cursing, a belt of cursing, and the cursing will go down in your body like oil, which means in the Hebrew, it means poison and bitterness. It'll go down into your body like oil and water in your bones. So when we love cursing, we've got a belt of cursing, a garment of cursing. Our body's filled with poison and bitterness as a result of cursing. And we don't realize how much our own words have affected our lives and the lives of others. In Matthew chapter 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13, in the parable of the sower, you know, it says that the sower went out and sowed the word of God. And so we've been created in the image of God, and so we're sowing death and life. Just like we have been created in the image of God, the sower sows the word, we're sowing death or life. And whatever we sow is going to come up. I heard Randy talk about, I don't understand, I can't say it exactly how he said it, but if we keep planting the word of God in our life, then the negative force in our brain gets shut down. So we need to pluck up, uproot whatever has been planted in our lives through negative words, and we need to plant the word of God to replace the negative. And we need to keep planting the word of God, and it'll produce fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Whatever kind of crop we want, good or bad, is going to be determined by the kind of words we speak. Galatians 6, 7 says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And we read in Matthew 12, that you're going to be acquitted by your words or condemned by your words. So we need to pull those words down, strike them down, uproot them, pull them up, cancel them, break them. And that's what we want to do in this session. We say words like, my arthritis is acting up again. Or, you know, one that I have to repent of is, you know, I can't see that, I can't read that. Break those curses in Jesus' name. But if somebody's saying, well, you see right there, you act like a dodo, how do you answer that? So, Lord, I ask for the right answer. What about this? That drives me crazy. Or, I think I'm going nuts. I'm going crazy. I'm going to have a heart attack. My pain is incurable. You know, if we keep speaking that over our lives, it's no use to have somebody pray for me if I'm pronouncing it over my life. I've got to stop doing that. What about I'm hanging on by a thread? Or you're stupid, or if you had a brain, you'd take it out and play with it. What about I can't walk, I can't do this, I can't do that. You're dumb, you're stupid, you're worthless, you're no good. How many times we've heard a mother say to a kid, I don't love you, or I don't want you, I wish I'd never, you'd never been born, or you can say, what a cute little baby you've had, and you hear him say, well, he's just a little devil. You know, this little kid hears this lie. He hears this from this person he respects. He receives a lie in his heart, and he thinks, well, this big person I respect says this, so it must be so. Then as he thinks in his heart, so is he, and so he does. What about, I have problems with my back. I can never get healed. It runs in the family. You better get your flu shot or you're going to catch the flu. Let me tell you, if you get a flu shot, you'll probably get the flu. I had a lady call me one day for a puppy, and she was going, she was coughing. She said, I'm sorry, excuse me, I just had a flu shot. I said, that's what's wrong with you. So I did deliverance over her. I didn't even know her, and she quit coughing. She said, you're right. You're going to catch a death of cold. I remember coming to Lake Hamilton one year, and I fell asleep. I had the cruise control on 70 miles an hour. I was getting really sleepy, and I thought, well, I'll go to the next town and take a little power nap. But all of a sudden, my head hit the side of the glass. The car was going 70 miles an hour in the grass. And I thought, well, I thought if I hit the brake, I forgot the cruise control was on, or I could have just tapped it and it would stop. But I thought about hitting the brake, but I thought, I'll turn over, I'm going so fast. Anyway, I kept going and going back on, finally didn't ever stop, just got back on 30. But a week before that, I was riding with my daddy, and he was a front seat driver, a back seat driver, and a front seat driver. And he's, Jerry, you're going to kill yourself. And he spoke those words a week before I almost killed myself on the freeway. Thank God, that scared me so bad. Or you're going to kill yourself. Or how about, that food's so delicious it's to die for. How many people say that? Or I about had a heart attack. Or you'll never amount to anything. You're no good. You'll always fail. That drives me up the wall. That drives me crazy. I'm going to beat you black and blue. I'm going to beat you to death. How many times parents have said that? You don't have a brain. You can't learn. Name some other things. Words we speak. Anybody?
You can say, scare me to death.
Love me to death. Scare me to death. I'm sick and tired. That makes me want to throw up. Makes me nauseous. What else? I'm worn out, I'm tired and weary.
I brought you into this world, I can take you out.
I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Okay, what else?
You're a royal pain.
You're a royal pain. Name some more. We're going to get free hearing these words. I'm getting old. Well, y'all can say you're getting old, but not me. I don't feel old. My carton might be getting old, but I don't feel old. Huh? You're lazy? Oh, this is a good one. My mother used to say, she wouldn't holler suey if the hogs were eating her. My mother would let me stay out late. I never wasn't doing anything bad, but she'd let me stay out late. And then the next morning, I'd sleep till noon. And she, instead of saying, get up and clean your room, she'd get up and she'd be throwing my shoes in the closet. Instead of making me get up and clean my room, she's so lazy she wouldn't holler at the sewer. She's not worth the salt that goes in her bread. What else? Or you big old stand up in the road. She used to call me a big old stand up in the road. I was out in California and somebody said, Jerry, what's a big old stand up in the road? I said, I don't know. That's what I always get called. So I said, my mother, that's the next time I saw my mother, I said, Mother, what's a big old stand up in the road? She said, that's just something I used to say. Yeah, me. Okay, what else?
My back is killing me.
My back is killing me.
I'm falling apart
at the seams, and I'm falling apart.
You don't have
sense. I'm losing my mind. And what, Nikki? Did you hear that? You don't have sense. God gave a goose. You make me sick. What else? You think we'd be getting sick if we say those words? Yes. Okay. You know, Satan wants to kill us. And when we speak those words, we give him legal right to do it. It's flu season. You better get your flu shot. Let's see if there's any here. You need to be smart like your brother. You're this, you're that, you're such and such. You're fat. You're ugly, you're fat, you're stupid. And so the words we spoke, these things have been planted in our life, and we have to uproot them. So, let's see. You can fix this because Jesus became a curse for us at Calvary. It says in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law through faith. Because of Jesus, we have the blessings of Abraham. Romans 5, verse 10 says, For while we were enemies of the cross, he reconciled ourselves to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, I shall be saved by his life. And so Jesus died for our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 61 says he'll exchange our brokenness for healing, our failure for success, our defeat for victory, our sorrow for joy, our fear for love, power, and a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ. It says that he ever lives to make intercession for us. It says that he saves us to the uttermost. And the word save means sozo, which means saved, delivered, preserved, healed, and made whole. That's what save means. Bless the Lord. Steps to healing is to recognize that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. To ask the Holy Spirit to show you things that have been spoken over you. You probably know what they are, because your life has been defeated because of these words. But the good news is that it can be canceled. Thank God he's ever lived to make intercession for us. That he'll bless those that bless us, curse those that curse us, and through us the nations of the earth will be blessed. Hallelujah. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Forgive every person that spoke a negative word over you and ask God to forgive you for the words you've spoken. Repent of bitterness toward God and toward others. Strike down, uproot, pluck out, cancel every negative word that's been spoken over you. Cast out the demons. Repent over the word of God. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Declare and confess with your mouth blessings. Plant scripture in the place of the negative. If you've been told you're stupid, say, no, I have the mind of Christ. And ask the Lord to show you specific curses that have been spoken over you. So if you'll stand up and ask the Lord to show you the words that have been spoken over you in your lifetime, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to search my heart, test my thoughts. Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. I ask for you to show me every word that has brought failure and defeat to my life in the name of Jesus. I thank you that I always triumph in Jesus' name. Thank you that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So Lord, search my heart, test my thoughts, and let me know the truth that sets me free. And just repent. Cancel it, and then when you're through, you can sit down. Lord, forgive me for trying to overcome evil with evil instead of overcoming evil for good. Forgive me, Lord, I've been having what I say. Teach me how to talk. Purify my heart so that my words and my thoughts will be pure. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to help me guard my tongue. In the name of Jesus, give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand. Make me know what is the extent of my days and how transient I am. Teach me, Lord, to number my days that I might present to you a heart of wisdom. God, forgive me for not having a tongue that brings healing. Forgive me for having a sharp tongue that has been like a dagger, mightier than the sword. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for speaking death. Forgive me for speaking idle words and not words that give grace to those who hear. Forgive me for speaking words that condemn me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess my sin. Forgive me for cursing those who persecute me instead of blessing them. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for not feeding my enemy food when he's hungry and drink when he's thirsty. Forgive me for speaking unwholesome words and not speaking words that edify. Forgive me for coarse jesting. Forgive me for running off at the mouth, grieving your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive me for bitterness and anger and clamor and slander and malice. Forgive me, Lord, for not being tenderhearted, forgiving others just as you've forgiven me. Forgive me for blessing you on one mouth on one side and then cursing my neighbor. God, forgive me. Forgive me for planting death in the lives of others and in my life. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. I forgive every person that's hurt me. I forgive myself. I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, if there's somebody in heaven that I've cursed, I ask you, Father God, to please tell them to please forgive me. Forgive me for wishing people dead, wishing evil on people. Forgive me for ignorant words, words without knowledge. Forgive me for willful words, wanting to curse people. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for planting the wrong thing in my life and in the lives of others. Now, Lord, I strike down every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse and assignment that's been spoken over me or that I've spoken over others or that I've spoken over myself. In Jesus' name. Now, pray this prayer with me. Let me get to the end of this. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you and I ask you to forgive me for all the words you've shown me that I have spoken. I forgive my forefathers, mother and father, for all the words they spoke over their children and over me. In the name of Jesus, I forgive myself and I release them from judgment. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless. I forgive and I ask you to bless those who curse me with the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin, the spirit of repentance. And Lord, I leave vengeance to you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I confess that I love you with all my heart, with all my strength, all my body. In the name of Jesus, and I resist the devil and he's fleeing from me now. In Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for everything that's been... Forgive me for believing everything that's been spoken over me. Forgive me for the lives of my children that I've wrecked with my words. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask to be delivered from the curse of the law because you became a curse for me. In the name of Jesus, I cancel all these curses that have been spoken over me. I cancel the ones I've spoken over my children and over others. In the name of Jesus, I pluck up, I strike down, I uproot all of those words out of my spiritual garden. In the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that you know the plans you have for me. They're to give me a future and a hope, that I have the mind of Christ. Thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you that I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Thank you that when I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong. That your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Father, forgive me for not glorying in my infirmities so that the power of Christ can rest upon me. Lord, thank you that I can run upon a truth, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. Thank you that the wicked bow down at my gates. Thank you, Lord, that I have authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means injure me. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that the devil is fleeing from me now as I'm resisting him. Command him to go. Command the demons that are carrying out the curses against me to go. In the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that you give me power over all the power of the enemy, that whatever I bind on earth is bound. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed. In the name of Jesus. You've given me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Thank you that I'm your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Thank you, Lord, that you knew me from the foundation of the earth, that you knew exactly what you wanted me to be and do. In Jesus' name, Lord, I submit to you the potter. I break curses of illegitimacy, curses of incest. In the name of Jesus, every curse, every word of death, word of iniquity, curse assignment that we have spoken and that others have spoken over us, in the name of Jesus, I break soul ties with every person who's spoken evil of me or that I have spoken evil of. I cut and sever every cord of control, linking their soul and human spirit to my soul and human spirit. I send back their soul and human spirit to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. I command all sickness, distress, disease, go in Jesus' name. Every demon carrying out curses against them to go in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. I break your power over every life. Leave now in Jesus' name. You have to go in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Every demon that came in through curses has to go through the sins they've confessed, have to leave now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our hearts we raise. You are awesome in our lives, mighty God. And your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. You are the mighty King, Master of everything. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, Señor. Bless the Lord. Lord, we ask you to give us a good night's rest. Let us sleep, feel like we slept 1,000 hours. And Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus for Merrill's home out in California. We ask you to station angels around it. We pray there'll be no fires. Come even near his house. And Lord, we pray that there'll come a downpour over his property and the properties of the saints all over this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you and have a great night.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thank you.